Recording is on.
All right, perfect. All right, welcome everyone to this year's annual BEP meeting. This is exciting. Just right off the bat, I see many, many attendees, which is wonderful because we have a lot to cover on the agenda. So with that being said, I want to start right away with taking the attendance, and then following that, Chairman Roberts would like to have a few words before our trainee, Terry Smith, joins the call from the NFB to provide the training coming to committees envisioned by law. So let me start with the attendance. We'll start with the agency. I, myself, Tyrell Sampson, is present. Tracy Morin.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Tracy Morin is present.
Joel Garcia. Joel?
His phone died. He didn't have the charger.
All right, we'll go
ahead. Sorry about that. Yeah, sorry. I'm here. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I got that, Frank. That was good. Jesse Tolles.
I'm here.
David Walsh.
Present.
Nick Faenza.
Present.
Zachary Moore.
Present.
All right, and we'll start with operators. Starting with the chair, Chair Frank Roberts.
Here.
Vice Chair Brandy Altica.
Here.
Rich Braccio. Amos Katorma.
Here.
Keith Haley.
Here.
Deli McDermott.
Here.
Dave Pelagi.
I'm here.
Angel Torres.
I'm here.
Jeremy Bailey. Keith DeLeo. Yolanda Dope. Adam Fairbanks.
Here.
Tony Ford.
I'm here.
Mike Heaney. Glenda Hernandez. Barbara Miller.
Present.
Lloyd Montague. Sophie Ramirez. Aron Kajambi.
I'm here.
All right.
Did we have Sophie as present?
I did not get a confirmation for Sophie.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Zach, any words before Frank takes?
So I just want to say very quickly, for those of you who may or may not know me, oh, we've got someone else joining the meeting right now. For some of those of you who may or may not know me, my name is Zach. I'm going to be taking the meeting minutes for this meeting. There are a lot of people on this call. This is going to be a long call. So I ask that you be respectful and mute your phones. You can do that by hitting *6. If your phone is making noise or your video is making noise and someone else is speaking, I will be muting you so that we can continue with the meeting. So if you go to talk and you aren't heard, make sure you're hitting *6 or unmuting yourself, because you've been muted just because of the background noise. So if anybody has any questions about that, please let me know now.
Thank you, Zach. Someone just joined the call. Who just joined the call?
Yolanda Doe.
Yolanda. Thank you, Yolanda. Okay. With that said, I'd say, Chairman Roberts, you now have the floor.
Okay, I just wanted to start by thanking everyone for attending, because I really do feel that attendance to these meetings is very important, and we're a much smaller group than we used to be. I think we, going into the pandemic, we had 28 people, and would you say about 16 are left, Tyrell?
I'd say 18.
18?
Yeah.
And I didn't hear very many not here, so sometimes I think the committee thinks the operators that struggle are people that don't put in the time and the work, and the committee doesn't want to work for everybody, and I want the committee to work for everybody, and not to sound disrespectful to operators that have left, because we've lost some good ones. But let's think that the dead weight is gone, and let's work to better the program for everyone. I wanted to start by welcoming Karan to the team. I think we have a mutual acquaintance, and told me that some of your prior work experience, could you please share that with us?
I'm sorry, can you repeat your question again, Frank?
Just wanted to, I basically heard that you were in management before, and could you share that information with us?
Yes, first of all, I'd like to thank everyone on this call. You know, it's been a great pleasure working with Tyrell and Dave and Tracy so far, and I've heard a lot about this community, so I'm really glad to be here. So I have been retail management for the last 16 years. Basically in retail for 16, and about 10 years I've gotten management. Currently manage a $5 million store. And you know, that's been most of my experience, most of my life. So hopefully I can learn a lot more from you guys and bring something to the table from my side as well.
Thanks for that. I know it's not food service management experience, but it should be interesting to see how that plays out in your BEP career. I just wanted to start out by saying I'm not much of a group speaker, but I want to get this out, and I'm going to give it my A-plus effort to this program, because for one, I will not be chair next this coming year, and for two, we have Terry Smith calling in from his vacation, and he's going to tell us what the committee needs to do. If we don't have passion to do it, he's calling in from his vacation, wasting his time. I'm going to pretend I'm talking to Karan. If everybody else already knows this information, that's great. He'll know it too. It's just kind of a vocabulary. I'm on the national call, so I don't want to misspeak and confuse people. When it comes to Randolph Shepherd, that's more talked about as the national program throughout all the states. When we say BEP, that's usually talking within our state, but it's the same thing. Same thing goes for blind vendor, blind operator, blind entrepreneur, all the same thing. BEP staff, agency, SLA, which stands for State Licensing Agency, again, all the same thing. Going back to what I said to Karan, I said, welcome to the team. We really need to be a team as a committee, and even past that, the team as all operators. We just can't be 18 individuals looking to sink or swim. We gotta help each other out. We gotta improve the blind operator's reputation, and it's not gonna be done if we're not working together. Work for each other. It's always bugged me that there's five people in the program that do great, there's five people like myself that do good, and the rest are left with peanuts. Randolph Shepherd is a great program, and no operator should be put in the situation of choosing between putting food on the table or stocking their facilities correctly. I don't put this all on the SLA. I think a lot of this goes on us and the committee, because we need to work together to make the program better. It seems I haven't heard the figures this year, but I'd say it's pretty accurate that since the pandemic, our program has had a $300,000 surplus each year, and yet operators are struggling, and the committee has to get creative to drive funds to be able to be earned by the operators. I've tried several times to get people together, and one or two people having interest is not enough. Keys to being a good operator, I would say, is having a good business sense. You have to believe in yourself, and most of all, which I'd say is what comes from most of my success, is just flat out determination to succeed. You've got to have a never give up attitude to be in business for yourself, especially in this day and age. I think the pandemic has knocked some of us on our backs, and it seems like people are struggling to get back up, and that is just not good for our program. We can't sit and wait for Tyrell to pull opportunities from his behind for each and every one of us. It's not going to happen. We also can't wait for things to go back to normal. It may never go back to normal. But if you don't believe in yourself, it's hard for the SLA to believe in you. This world we live in now, it just seems that doing the minimum has become the norm. And I see that as an opportunity for us at having a disability. We're not, instead of people looking down on us for having a disability, they can see that we're putting in an extra effort where other people are not. And I think that leaves room to capitalize on. My passion I have for this program is driven on my story, and I'm going to share my story with you, and hopefully you guys can take something from it. Myself, before BED, my parents raised me, oh, he can't see well, he doesn't have to do that. I spent a lot of my time putting up walls, not letting people in. It led to a low self-esteem. I didn't want to deal with any people. And then I got my first opportunity in the program, which was very influential to me. I was put behind the register. I had to deal with people. Something I did not want to do. And before I knew it, 80% of my customers were more like friends than customers. I remember my field rep back then credited a lot of my business to, he called it the cheers factor, which ended up becoming a little funnier when I would have a customer that would come down when my business was hopping, and he'd start singing the theme song from Cheers. But, I mean, that's a place I really enjoyed. If the money was there, I never would have left. I knew the business up and down. I got familiar with the building. I even started the opportunity of the Wallingford Post Office filling vending machines became available, it was a pretty sweet gig. All I had to do was show up, fill vending machines, go, hold money from it, and I was making money when I was sleeping. Unfortunately, in 2013, most of the customers in the building were transferred out, and there was talks about closing the building, which that was 2013. 2022 now, it's still open. But that sent me into a lot of depression. I would wake up with knots in my stomach as the day went on. If something went wrong, my stomach hurt more. And I just wasn't talking to anybody and letting people know that, and it became pretty bad. And I'm sure a lot of you have faced that because of the pandemic. But you just gotta, life will get better. It won't stay bad forever. And it got better for me in 2015 when the opportunity of the Program First Micro Market became available. And I had some computer knowledge already. Besby actually helped pay for it back in after I graduated high school, but I got in there. The SLA suggested, listen, you got to have Lathrop, a third-party company, help you fill it. I turned my depression into determination. I learned the Avanti micro market system on my own. No one else knew it in the program. I was determined to learn it on my own. And I did that, and eventually I said, I'm not gonna have Lathrop supply my vending. I'm gonna pick up my products myself. So I sent Lathrop a nice email, thank you, I'm gonna give it a go on myself. I don't see myself needing to come back, but I hope I can come back if I fail. The next day, I got this, apparently that email was forwarded to the SLA, and I got this phone call saying, oh, we don't think you're going to be able to do it by yourself. You're going to end up dumbing down your place. And I hung up from that phone call, thought about it. I was already going shopping to start buying products myself that night, and it just motivated me more. So I ended up going to the store, and instead of buying, I was looking at products saying, yeah, that could work, and then anything I was on the fence about, I was grabbing and saying, and throwing it in the cart saying, dumb it down. So I ended up walking out of there with two carts. And yeah, I ended up throwing some stuff away because I was motivated to succeed, but in the end I did succeed. And now the pandemic has hit, I'm struggling. And I can't get up by myself. I need the committee to help us all get back up. But I hope, I don't expect all of you to have a pre-DEP experience as pathetic as mine, but hopefully you do have a success story to build some passion on so we can get this heading in the right direction. And I don't know if Terry Smith is on the call yet, but is there anything else you wanted to add, Tyrell, before
speech, and certainly I think when we go down to today's agenda, there'll be topics in which I'll add to your motivation that hopefully will resonate with everyone on today's call, because to your point, Frank, I think we have to stop waiting for the norm to resume and come to a realization that today is the norm, and that, you know, all we can do is look forward, so much so that I rarely myself look back or compare anything that we did pre-pandemic, because I feel like it's pretty much a waste of my time, because we're nowhere near pre-pandemic, and in order to move forward, we have to think creatively and we have to think forward thinking. So, no, thank you for that speech, and I'll add on as we go through today's agenda.
And I just wanted to add one thing, just to be clear.
Yep.
That speech was not to tell everybody to call Tyrell tomorrow and say, I want to leave my partnership, micro-market partnership. Because I think in a world of uncertainty, the partnership is probably a good thing.
Right. Yeah.
Tyrell, can we just clarify who joined the meeting?
Yes. Can we heard several chime-ins. Can we just take a quick attendance for those that came in, if they did not have their name or hear their name called during our attendance?
Yeah, Tracy Baker is here.
Oh. Sorry. Can you repeat that one more time?
Rich is on the line.
Rich? Okay. Thanks, Rich.
Terry Smith is here.
Hey, Terry. Thank you. Do we have anyone else who joined the call that did not hear their name called during attendance?
Sophie.
Was that you, Sophie?
Yes, I know.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Not? Okay, Chairman. You can have the floor again.
All right. Well, I just wanted to introduce Terry Smith. Now, this is someone that, if you want to say, you can relate to all of us, because he is legally blind himself. But not only has he been fighting with the NABM for blind rights for several years, but he also spent 28 years sitting in basically Brian Sigmund's chair for the state of Tennessee for 28 years. So he does know both sides of this, and I think he has a lot to offer, and I'd like to welcome Terry Smith, and you have the floor, Terry.
Thank you, Terry. Yes, yes.
Thank you for having me. I'm actually on vacation in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and looking out the window at a beautiful lagoon down here, and looking for the alligators that we haven't seen yet, so hopefully they're gone somewhere else. But happy to call in and join you guys today and talk to you. I think I've got till 2:30, is that correct, for both my topics, is that correct?
Yeah, Terry, I mean, absolutely, certainly, if you need more time, go right ahead. But yeah, 2:30 or longer if you
say. No, I'm kidding. So I know the agenda talks about you're talking about the committee and doing some training on that, and also give a national update. I'm going to flip that, if you don't mind, because Kirk dovetail into some of what Frank was saying and what Tyrell said, also about the status of the program and the new norm. And Tyrell said it very, very well. This is the new norm, and I feel sorry for state agencies and blind vendors who are sitting back waiting for the 2019 to return, because it's never coming back. Now, that doesn't mean the program is dead. It doesn't mean that we can't reinvent ourselves. It doesn't mean any of that. But what it means is, it's never going to be like it was. And you look around at government, and you see that teleworking is here to stay. Now, people have different opinions on whether teleworking is a good thing or a bad thing, but government, as well as leases are being terminated and people will be moved back into state buildings. So some of these buildings will be slowly backfilled to a certain extent. I don't look for them to ever return to what they were pre-pandemic. The General Services Administration told us a year ago that 70% of the federal workforce would be given the opportunity to telework, and that 40% of federal workers would never return to the office. That means for federal locations, we have permanently lost 40% of our federal workers. And those that do return are oftentimes returning on a three-day, two-day, one-day kind of thing, and still working from home the rest of the time. The biggest change that we are seeing is the old-style cafeteria, the cafe. Those things are dying like dinosaurs. You cannot maintain those anymore. Now, the problem we've got with that is that people still want that service, and they think that when there were 1,000 people in the building and they were getting that service, and now there are 200 people in the building, then they still think that they want that same service. And obviously, from a business model, that simply does not work. Last week, I sent out a survey to the state directors, and Tyrell, I'm sure you're going to send me a response as soon as this meeting is over. But I'm surveying the state to sort of see the impact of, and I'll explain why we're doing that. But let me just real quickly just share with you. I don't want to sound doomsday because I'm going to turn it around here in just a minute. But listen, here are some of the statistics. So I want to give you how many facilities the state has and how many are operating at least near capacity. Most states were defining that as 80% of capacity. Here's one state. They have 6 facilities, only one operating at capacity. Another state has 73, 33 are operating at capacity. This state has 35 are working at capacity. This state has 17-0 working at capacity. This state has 40-10 at capacity. 73-31 working at capacity. 33-15 are operating. 31-1 is operating. 7-9 are operating. 68-20 are operating at capacity. 49-27 are operating at capacity. This one, this state has 26-12 are back operating. This state says 10%. They didn't give me the number. They said 10% are operating at capacity. This state has 77-14 are operating at capacity. This state has 26-4 are operating at capacity. This state has 112-4 are operating at capacity. So here we are, 2.5 years into the pandemic, and you see what's happening to the program. Now, I didn't give you the percent of the numbers for the numbers that are closed. A bunch of facilities have been closed permanently, and have been merged and this sort of thing. So you can see what the impact has been. What NABM has done is we have reached out to members of Congress. We have written to the Department of Education, and we have a meeting set up for the Department of Education on Thursday. We have asked that a portion of money that is turned back by the state agencies, not if you know how that works, but if your VR agency does not spend all of its money, it turns it back.